College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live on Radio Row in New Orleans. Thank you very much to Stella Artois for making this happen and being our presenting sponsor. And right now, we bring to you former Lions, former Steelers quarterback, multiple-time Super Bowl winner. It is Charlie Batch. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Now, I feel like you have some unique insight into this, even though you played, not your entire career here, but is poor, sweet Detroit just cursed to walk the earth with no Super Bowl appearances and championships forever?
That is tough. That is, because I really thought this year was going to be
For sure.
And you get to the point last year, you know, obviously you're aggressive, but if you take the points, at least you're playing in the Super Bowl. And then just to get the excitement and have the number one seed, and the way that the energy and the electricity was flowing throughout the city in that playoffs and at the playoff game at Ford Field, it was exciting to watch. And this was the first year in 23 years. And, of course, last year they were on the road. First time in 23 years that Detroit has played 1 week longer than the Steelers. So having the opportunity to go up there and watch them, I'm like, man, this is it. And, of course, they fell short of their goal, but it was tough.
What's the relationship like between the city and the Lions? Obviously, I know you started your career there. It feels like they just so desperately want something to cheer for.
They're passionate fans, right? When you have the whole state of Michigan rooting for you in that particular manner, you know, there's not a lot to cheer for because not a lot of success that's happening. But yet when you do get it, you see what the potential is if you can make this consistent. And I think Coach Dan Campbell, he has that going in the right direction. The Ford family, they're going to bring everything to the equation to make sure that they continue to be successful. But you know you're doing good things whenever now you have other people around the league that are prodding your coaching staff, players, free agent, while you're targeting from Detroit. So you know they have something good going on. Now it's just a matter of making sure, you know, what does that look like on the rehab part? I mean, when you look at that, what does it look like when people are prodded from you? Are you able to replace? And I think that's going to be the next question and whether Dan Campbell can answer.
Quarterback specifically, what's the curve like when you get a new OC, whether it's internally or externally?
Well, you hope that the terminology doesn't change much, right?
Yeah,
it's one thing to have a philosophy, but you have the majority of those players that are all system. They know that system, and it works.
Okay, yeah.
So now you just have to adjust from a coordinator perspective to say, okay, I understand you like this play. You call it that way. Now you have to remove egos. You want to know what? If you call it and you learn it that way, now I'm going to make sure that I do it that way. So there's a little bit of, you know, ebb and flow that happens when you have a new coordinator, especially when you have an experienced team coming back.
I was kind of shocked, Charlie, to see the way the run game came back this year. And Detroit was right at the forefront of going, hey, we know that we're tough. We know we're tough up front. And we got one dude who's, you know, Knuckles. We got one dude who's Sonic. So, like, that combination's great. But that kind of balance, is that kind of the perfect balance that most coaches are looking for? Because, like, a Kellen Moore is always kind of like, I got to pass. But it seems like the balance of having that run game again is starting to make its way back into the NFL strong.
The beauty of it is the fact that those two running backs that they have in Detroit, they're very similar. So it's not like when one comes in the game, he's the gadget guy and the defense is going to play it well. No, they can still run the football. And then you obviously, you know, you adjust accordingly that way. But it's just great to be able to see it because the success that they're having and they're able to push the ball down the field. When you're able to get off that play action game and hit those 18, 20, yard chunk plays, that's demoralizing to a defense because you're trying to jockey, but yet you're killing them and gashing them in those big plays, and that's why Detroit has the huge advantage.
So quarterback, like, I feel like most quarterbacks are like, I just want to throw because I'm a quarterback and I'm going to make the star play. But when you have that kind of running game, you know this is going to help me get a bigger play, or this is going to help me get more wide open receivers.
Absolutely. It's one thing to say you want to throw it, but obviously you want to control that line of scrimmage, and when you're able to do so, when you talk about running the ball and you actually do it, that's something that where you're like, wow, you're talking about it, but you can't stop it. And every quarterback wants to push the ball down the field, and I think those are things that are happening when you're a balanced offense in that particular perspective. Numbers are going to be what they are at the end of the season. Hey, 60-40, 70-30 running, and you just know that's why that self-policing that are happening, especially during bye weeks, to make sure you're self-evaluating yourself to make sure you don't become too predictable for defensive coordinators.
That's a strong week to really get to look at yourself,
yes,
for sure. All right, so you get to pick any of the current receivers to throw to.
Ooh.
I'm going to give you one. You get one.
Just remember, we're in Dallas.
Mm-hmm, we're in Dallas.
If you want to cheat on that.
Yeah, it's okay. There are three significant. I mean, there's a lot more, but I think Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, and CeeDee are at the top of that list. But you pick one out of this current group of receivers.
To be honest with you, I mean, I have to be selfish, and I only say that, and I have to stick with the AFC North because I've seen Ja'Marr Chase. And when you see that happening, you're watching twice a year, just like, you know where the ball is going. You can't stop it. Like, come on. And, you know, even T. Higgins in that matter, you know, and that's why he's going to be a number one free agent coming out of here, and he's going to get paid handsomely somewhere. But it just that's why I have to stick within the division because I've had more opportunities to watch those guys.
And you know, Kevin, you know I love T. Higgins.
Yes,
too,
so that's your guy.
He's helped my fantasy league so many times. But Ja'Marr Chase, I don't understand. All of a sudden, you look and he's open.
Yes.
I don't understand how. I would love to just have a camera on him all the time so I could really see how he wins these matchups. Have you watched him close enough to see how he wins his matchups? Is it strength? Is it just quickness? What is it for him that just changes?
I think when you're in that position, you got to make sure, hey, you're not cheating when it comes to stances, understand the inside route, outside route, but you have to make them all look the same. When you're able to run the route tree, now it makes those corners, they have to, you know, adjust accordingly. And I think those are things that you just want to make sure, because if you become stagnant, they don't move you around, you're in one position, it makes you a lot easier to become double-teamed.
Yeah, like we say with CD all the time, move them around.
You have to.
Mm-hmm.
What's that experience when that receiver is on the other team and you're watching it happen right in front of you? I know you're like, hey, come on, defense, but at the same time, you're like, I don't know how to block that guy. Like, what's it like watching that receiver against your team and you're like, I don't know how we're supposed to stop that?
You're tough, right? And I say only that because, watching Antonio Brown for so long, you knew where the ball was going. You're like, and it's very hard, but that's why offensive coordinators have to, you have to strategically, get your guys open. Whether that's a short motion just to go from a bump and run to now he's playing soft at 2-3 yards off to allow him to get a free release on his route. Those are things that you have to do, and if you're just stagnant, you become predictable in that particular manner. So the coordinators, they have to do a better job of making sure that they're able to game plan accordingly to get their guys in best position to be effective.
And now, we kind of had this discussion based off of something that Cam Newton had said last week. I think you might be uniquely presented to explain this to us as we talk with Charlie Batch right here on The Fan, and he said he preferred his MVP to a Super Bowl ring. And I was just curious your thoughts about like getting a Super Bowl ring, multiple Super Bowl rings, as opposed to like, no, everybody knows I was the MVP. I was the dude in the league that year. Like, how do you fall on that?
Yeah, and I think, and I was caught, I was watching it live when it happened.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to it, but I'm kind of doing something else. And when he said that, I looked up, and that was kind of a reaction to Stephen A. at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
But the way he explained it, I was like, it makes sense. If you do your job, you get rewarded with the MVP, and that takes you to the Super Bowl. People can't get out of the mind of he didn't jump on the football. That's what people take away from it to say you're selfish. It's not the fact of leading up to it. His point was, hey, if you do your job and those awards come with it, that's one thing. But ultimately, at the end of it, there's only two Super Bowl MVPs that are awarded during the course of the year, one regular season MVP and one Super Bowl MVP. And if you're able to win the Super Bowl in that particular manner, it's different, right? Super Bowl MVPs, they have MVP in their ring. That's different than the other 53 guys.
I did not know that.
Yes, and so when you are that, and those are things that, you kind of look at it. So I understand his position when it comes to it, right? At the end of it, when your career is done, you didn't win a Super Bowl. When your career is done, you didn't have the chance to play. Now, if he made the comment and never played in the Super Bowl, that's a different conversation.
Yeah.
He lost the Super Bowl.
You said that,
and you try not to, you forget those losses, right? I can't tell you what happened in the Green Bay loss in the Super Bowl, but I can tell you about what happened against Arizona when we won the Super Bowl. So you tend to forget those things. And all I say is this, Cam, yes, people have the right to do it, but I understand, I respect his position when it comes to it, but ultimately he's always going to walk around as a Super Bowl MVP. He would be just a Super Bowl winner if he didn't win a Super Bowl MVP. It's a different conversation. That's why I say it's just depending on what your take is off of it.
What was your experience when y'all did win the Super Bowl, but you got hurt? Because they always are like, hey, we got to move on. We just got to move on. I'm not saying that you got left behind on purpose, but that's just the nature of the
business.
Remember,
Schlereth told us, he was like, if you're injured, you're dead to the team. You can't help them. And so, but I feel like you kind of may have had a different approach.
It was a different one because I was more involved with Ben Roethlisberger during that time and being involved, and I was there every single day. So it wasn't like on injured reserve, and then all of a sudden you're not around the team. I was there every single day understanding the game plan, helping them out in that particular manner.
Fascinating.
Right. So when I look at it and I sit back and say, yeah, I have a Super Bowl ring and I have two Super Bowl rings. I didn't necessarily play in either one of the games, but I still have two. So when I look at it and say, hey, I'm a two-time Super Bowl winner, but the respect isn't there from everybody else because they'll look at it and say, you actually didn't win it because you didn't play.
Yeah.
So it's a different type of mindset, but when you know the things that you did behind the scenes to help contribute to that.
You don't got
to
explain yourself.
You don't have to explain yourself, and that's okay. And it's not for me to explain. It's the fact of I was there, I was able to help accomplish what the goal was at hand. So, again, it's a different conversation, but, again, unless you experience that, that's what, you know, your opinions are going to sway one way or another.
As a glue guy, I know exactly what you're talking about there. You know what you helped accomplish. You were helping keep the glue together.
Absolutely.
All right, so.
And that's no different than a staff member.
Exactly.
Or somebody, an employee who works with the organization. They'll walk around with their Super Bowl rings on like they did. Some, you didn't see the field.
Hello, everybody.
But, again, your contributions led to that to make the player's job easier.
Sure.
So we're all in this together.
My co-host, Mike Bassick here, he is in love with Mike Tomlin's coaching style and his, like, just the way that he's done this. Can you explain Mike Tomlin to us?
Yeah, I mean, just the way that he approaches leadership, right? When you walk in, you want to make sure your message is there. Are you clear, concise, able to deliver your message? And the guys are going to buy in. From day one, Mike Tomlin accomplished that. And here we are 18 years later, and he's still doing the same thing. The one thing I respect about him is the fact that he doesn't shy away from the hard conversations. When you look at it and say, listen, guys, we have two talented guys, but I only have one roster spot. And we're going to watch this evolve right in front of us.
Yeah.
Every day, I'm going to put it on screen so all 51 other guys are going to look at this battle here, and we're going to determine the winner. People respect it, right?
Yeah.
But then you also respect the fact of, guys, I don't have time to play with you. We're not in the rebuilding mode right now because your career doesn't justify that. If we talk about rebuilding 3 to 4 years, you're not guaranteed to be here. So we have to accomplish that goal right now. And the goal is to win the Super Bowl. That's the standard. That's why you started saying the standard is a standard.
Yeah.
Because if for whatever reason the starter goes down and you are the backup, I don't expect the level to drop one bit. I don't expect the narratives to come out the next day to say the reason why we lost the game because our starter was out in the backup play. No, the standard is there. That's what we expect. That's why you're on this roster. And I love that he's always able to do it. Yes, you fall short of your goal. Yes, the Steelers, he won a Super Bowl, but then he lost another one, and here you are all of these years later. I think the conversation becomes diluted because what we saw with Tom Brady, you're like, he's in the Super Bowl 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, now here we are with Patrick Mahomes, and you're like, oh, he's in another Super Bowl. But you forget how hard it is to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very tough to do that, but those guys change the game, and right now you have to get those learning curves accelerated to the point of making sure you respect people's careers. And that's what Mike Tomlin always does because he understands there's not going to be a lot of shelf life for you on your career. We got to make sure we maximize those out.
See, Kevin, that's a lot. Sometimes coaches play games. You leave the facility and you're like, I don't know what that coach thinks of me. Bochy,
yeah.
We always talk about it. You walk away, you're like, I know exactly what he thinks of me right now. And I feel like that's the way with Tomlin. He's going to let you know. He's not going to shy away from that at all.
Now, we're talking with Charlie Batch live in New Orleans. I was hoping that you could tell us not only the mission of the Best of the Batch Foundation, but for people who don't know, and I know you've shared this story before, but for people who are not familiar, kind of the genesis of how the Best of the Batch Foundation came to be.
Yes, in 1996, I lost my sister to senseless gang violence. She was caught in a crossfire between rival gangs, and she was only 17 years old, and she never had the opportunity to live life. And I said, if I was ever in position to give back, I would. Try to do something in my family that's never been done. Graduate college, 1997. Was drafted in Detroit by the Lions in the second round in 1998. So January of 1999, started the foundation, Best of the Batch Foundation. And we're an educational foundation. We focus on STEM programs, and we say STEAM instead of STEM, only because we include the A for arts, and focus on after school. So as we did that, I thought we were going to, you know, everything was going to be in Detroit. End up coming back, going to Pittsburgh, which is my hometown. A lot of people don't realize that. And 2002 redirected foundation goals, and here we are now servicing 3,800 kids annually in 9 counties throughout southwestern PA. We have 13 different programs that we run. In April of last year, we just did a ribbon cutting, and we went from 5,300 square feet to 33,000 square feet. So to be able to do that, all the programs that are happening within our foundation, all the support, we are truly grateful for humbled by all the support that we receive for that because they believe in the mission and vision of the Best of the Batch Foundation. So for anybody who wants to learn what we do, we love to collaborate. They can go to batchfoundation.org. We don't do all things well. We love to collaborate with people. And ultimately, we can now help you go from step A to step B on how we took that process. Because ultimately, if you're impacting kids, we want to help you be a resource to help continue to resource kids. So again, that's batchfoundation.org.
Do you ever give yourself a chance to kind of like, I know you got work to do at all times, but to take a step back and think about like, your sister would be really proud of you.
I do. Every day I walk in that building, I'm just like, wow. And I hope she's proud, you know, as she's smiling down on us. And when you see those kids coming in, you know, you're not going to get a lot of thank you from kids. But when you see the smiles, faces, you're like, it's well worth it, those tired days that you're putting in and pouring into those kids. Because we want to make sure that we're trying to do our small part to help impact life, right, in this thing called life. And whatever that may look like, whether career field, whatever that may be for you education-wise, it's just something that we just love to be a part of. And we have so many volunteers that believe in what we're doing. And when you're sharing your time with us, that lets us know we are truly grateful and humble because you believe in what we're trying to accomplish. So it's a beautiful thing, to be honest with you.
That does sound like a beautiful thing. Thank you very much for sharing that with us. Thank you for jumping on with us, ladies and gentlemen. Charlie Batch right here on 105.3 The Fan.